Welcome to Double Helix, Blueprint of Nations, Companion 5.1, The Boer Wars. Welcome to another companion episode of Double Helix. In this companion, we'll talk about the topic that lurked in the background of our exploration of leadership legacies within South Africa, both in episode 5 and 6, but in particular during episode 6 about F.W. de Klerk. In that episode, we open with the arrival of the earliest ancestors to the Afrikaner inhabitants of South Africa as they made their landing at the Cape of Good Hope. Those ancestors would eventually become the Boers. The wars they fought against the United Kingdom would come to define their national identity and their eventual implementation of apartheid. We're exploring the rolling belts and the rugged landscapes of South Africa to understand a series of conflicts that shaped the destiny of a nation, the Boer Wars. The term Boer comes from the Dutch and Afrikaans word for farmer. It refers to the descendants of Dutch-speaking settlers of the Eastern Cape frontier in southern Africa during the late 17th century, along with the Huguenots from France who joined them. Settling in what is now South Africa, the Boers developed a unique identity, deeply rooted in their Calvinist faith and a fiercely independent outlook, shaped by their battles against the harsh conditions of their new homeland. By the 19th century, tensions were simmering as the British Empire expanded its control over South Africa, infringing on Boer autonomy. The discovery of gold and diamonds in the Boer-dominated Transvaal region transformed the geopolitical importance of the Boer republics, attracting the attention of the British, who were eager to control these valuable mines. The Boer Wars were not just about control of the land, but also about the control of resources that had the potential to make South Africa a major economic power in the British Empire. The First Boer War, often overshadowed by its successors, was fought between 1880 and 1881. It was concise and decisive, where the Boers demonstrated their military prowess. In December 1880, the Boers revolted against the British annexation of the Transvaal. Employing guerrilla tactics and leveraging their superior local knowledge, the Boers managed to besiege key British garrisons, leading to a humiliating British defeat at the Battle of Majuba Hill on February 1881. This victory reinstated their control over the Transvaal, albeit briefly. The Second Boer War, fought between 1899 and 1902, was marked by significant escalation from the previous conflict. This time, the British were determined not to underestimate their opponents. What ensued was a brutal and lengthy war involving large-scale sieges, guerrilla warfare, and a scorched-earth policy implemented by the British. The British response included the creation of concentration camps, where approximately 26,000 Boer civilians, mostly women and children, died. Over 7,000 Boer combatants and 22,000 British soldiers also lost their lives, highlighting the darker aspects of imperial warfare. The war ended in 1902. The Boers accepted British sovereignty in exchange for eventual self-government and significant financial aid for rebuilding. The war's reach extended beyond the battlefield, setting the stage for the Union of South Africa and eventually the apartheid era. The Boer Wars left a lasting mark on South Africa's social fabric. They fostered a sense of Afrikaner nationalism that would later influence the country's political landscape. These wars also demonstrated the lengths to which empires would go to secure their interests and the resilience of small communities fighting for their independence and identity. Another one of the topics that lurked in the background of our episodes on South Africa was Pan-Africanism. We talked about it during our episode on Nelson Mandela, how it influenced his thinking and that of his peers, and how it applied to the situation in South Africa. We'll explore Pan-African movements in the 20th century, and we'll describe why they were a powerful force in the fight against colonialism and racial discrimination. We'll also talk about how these movements inspire leaders like Nelson Mandela and fuel the efforts to dismantle apartheid in South Africa. Pan-Africanism emerged as a philosophy that encouraged the solidarity of Africans worldwide. It was a response to the exploitation and colonization of Africa and the African diaspora experience in the Americas and in Europe. The movement gained momentum in the early 20th century, advocating for a unified African identity and independence from colonial powers. Several charismatic and visionary leaders propelled Pan-African movements. Figures like W.E.B. Du Bois, Marcus Garvey, Kwame Nkrumah, and Jomo Kenyatta stood at the forefront. Du Bois, an American intellectual, organized a series of Pan-African congresses that helped lay the ideological foundations of the movement. Marcus Garvey, with his Universal Negro Improvement Association, inspired Africans with his vision of Africa for Africans. Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana pushed for independence and unity in Africa, emphasizing the African liberation was meaningless without continental unity. The ideals of Pan-Africanism deeply influenced African leaders fighting against colonial rule and racial injustice. Nelson Mandela, as we discussed, a symbol of the struggle against apartheid, was inspired by the Pan-African vision. The movement's emphasis on solidarity and liberation resonated with Mandela and other South African leaders as they engaged in their prolonged struggle to dismantle the institutionalized racial segregation and discrimination of apartheid. Pan-Africanism played a critical role in galvanizing international support for the anti-apartheid movement. It helped connect the plight of South Africans to the broader African struggle for independence and human rights, drawing significant global attention and support, which were pivotal in the eventual dismantling of apartheid policies in South Africa. The legacy of Pan-Africanism continues to influence contemporary politics, and though in Africa and beyond, it is still remembered as one of the forces which led to change in the 20th century. Its impact on cultural identity, political solidarity, and economic cooperation among African nations cannot be overstated. The movement laid the groundwork for later initiatives like the African Union, striving for a united and prosperous continent. Thank you for joining us once again in another companion episode of Double Helix. What types of companion topics will you like to hear next time? Let us know through social media or through email. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.